What is going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA podcast. I am your host, Josh Prep Egina, and we are back, guys, for another full week of MMA pay-per-view week. First time the UFC has been back in London for a pay-per-view. And I think they said something crazy like 10 years. So that's exciting. But before we get into all that, I would like to thank everybody who is tuning in today. If you've been here before, welcome back. If it's your first time here, something that we say at my church, welcome home. I will gladly be your home for MMA news and reviews, previews, whatever you want. I am here. I am your guy. I've been doing this since 2019 every week, and I don't see me stopping anytime soon. So thanks again for joining us. Let's get into the news. So a lot of our news this week, as most of the news in the MMA space, comes from the MMA Hour episodes from this week. First off, let's talk about Francis Ngannou. He was on Ariel's show on Wednesday. Ariel just said he hit him up for an update. And I don't know. Like, I feel weird about the whole Francis thing because I don't see the appeal that much. And you can call me delusional or whatever, but like, you know, the last thing that he did that was big was when he knocked out Stipe. You can't really come out of that Ciryl Gane fight seeing what he did to Ciryl Gane and realize how hampered Ciryl Gane is for certain skills in mixed martial arts. You're telling me that you got out wrestled by Francis Ngannou. It's tough to, you know, get up for that. So for me, when Francis left, I wasn't like this, I can't wait to see what he does next. Now, don't get me wrong. Whatever he does, I will be watching because I do this show, and I'm a fan. I'm a fan of MMA, so I have to pay attention to these things. But all that to say, he was bringing up, you know, his plans, and he kind of broke the news that he's down to two promotions he's down to two promotions in MMA where he's looking to sign. One is the PFL, which we all expect they're an ESPN brand, you can say. They're under the ESPN umbrella, and they have deep pockets. You know what I mean? They're able to sign this high profile these high profile contracts. And another one is ONE Championship in Asia. They are also some people, I don't understand how, but they also have deep pockets. And as much as exciting as it is, the thought of Francis Ngannou possibly going to some place like a ONE Championship, why is it exciting? Because there's so many things for him to do there. He can fight MMA, he can fight Muay Thai, he can kickbox, he can grapple, whatever he wants there. He can box. But the real exciting thing is, you know, the idea of him boxing now. I don't think that he's going to win a boxing match against these elite heavyweights, but it's still exciting, the idea to see him. You know, for all the flack I just gave him 2 minutes ago, the guy has life-changing power. So for us to kind of dismiss him in a boxing match is tough. At least he has a puncher's chance, and that's all you can ask for in combat sports. So those were the two big updates. The idea that he's down to two promotions that he might sign with. And he's definitely going to box first. Who's number one on that list? The Bronze Bomber himself, Deontay Wilder. Yes, Deontay Wilder is a free agent. And according to Francis, they have had serious talks of that being the matchup that Francis will be taking on this summer. That's exciting. Both those guys, life-changing power. But Deontay Wilder, a lifetime boxer, someone who's been in there with the best of the best. And I just think Francis Ngannou might be a little, just a tad bit over his head in this situation. But just like when he left, you got to respect the hustle, right? He had his morals and he stood on them. So congratulations. Again, it doesn't matter. I'm going to watch this guy, whatever he does next, no matter what I say about him. So, yes, that's Francis Ngannou. Let's talk about Conor McGregor. Yesterday, I was at church, yesterday being Wednesday because I'm recording this on a Thursday. Yesterday, I was at church. When I got out, I saw that they were doing like a Conor McGregor MMA in studio special. I was like, wait a second. Totally missed the announcement for this. I didn't watch like the last 5 minutes of the regular show. So I tune into the Conor McGregor interview and it was pretty interesting. I think that he sounded, I know it's cliche to say, but he sounded like the old Conor. Like he had great lines as usual. You know, he's phenomenal on the mic, as we say. And I feel like the motivation was real. Like, when I heard him say things like, I'm married to the game, like I'll never leave. Like, I believe him for some reason, even though he hasn't fought very much in the last few years. I still believe him. And I don't know if it's because he's coming off of the Ultimate Fighter and, you know, he had some exciting fight. You know, he probably watched some exciting fights and he was around so many fights in a short amount of time that maybe he's just really motivated. He sounded great. It seems like the fight's going to be at 170, him versus Michael Chandler, which is exciting to see Michael at 170. Obviously, Conor McGregor's going to be towering over him. And, you know, Conor will be Conor. Everything is about the belt. So he says, hey, if I get a victory at 170, you know, I can go for that title. And it seems like he's going to be in London this weekend to see. So I doubt it. You know, we know how Dana feels about the whole, 170 thing. For some, welterweight hasn't been really off of a meritocracy lately. It's not like next in line. And UFC is, it's usually kind of tough to be like that. Leon got lucky here, you know. Last time they held out for so long that they couldn't hold off anymore. He was it, and that's it. But I don't think Conor gets the next shot at 170. He has to get through Michael Chandler first, too. And there's so many stories that he still can tell. At 155, you know, you fight Dustin again. Didn't finish that story. You go ahead and you fight Islam. You know, Khabib's protege. Khabib's next in line. Didn't finish that story yet. You can fight Tony Ferguson, the whole paradigm thing. There's so much that he can do. He's Conor McGregor. Damn, we'll watch him fight out of a paper bag. So, like I said, it was just great to hear him once again. You know, he sounds motivated. It doesn't seem like he wants to do any more movies. So it's good to know that we'll probably see Conor McGregor fight pretty often now that he's healthy. So that's exciting to say out loud. And it was a great interview. About 18 minutes. Go and check it out. I really enjoyed hearing him talk once again. Few, very, very few fight announcements this week. So let's start with Drew Dover versus Matt Frivola. Looks like that's in the work for the works for UFC 288 in May. The UFC has announced their return to Abu Dhabi. They will be back in Abu Dhabi in October for UFC 294. That's so crazy to say because we're so close to UFC 200. I mean, 300. That's wild. We're so close to UFC 300. You know, first quarter next year. That is wild to say out loud. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm curious what huge fight they're going to take to Abu Dhabi. It has to be huge. Obviously, Abu Dhabi's paying a lot of money to have them. We will see. Miranda Maverick versus Jasmine Jazdevizius. That is targeted for UFC 289 on June 10th. Bellator fight. Danny Sabatello versus Marcos Breno. That is going to be during that Hawaii doubleheader. Canelo Alvarez is back to fight in Mexico for the first time in over a decade. He defends his title against John Ryder. And we talked about last week or the week before, we talked about the injury to Amanda Serrano putting off one of my most anticipated fights of this year to later on this year. But they did get a replacement to face Katie Taylor in a month, I guess it is. And it will be Chantel Cameron. Katie Taylor will bid to become two-weight undisputed world champion. So that's exciting for May 20th that, you know, at least they have something that'll be meaningful here with the Katie Taylor trying to become a two-division undisputed champ. So I'm pretty hyped for that. That's it for any fight announcements. Quick note. Alistair, this is from Damon Martin at MMA Fighting. He says, Alistair Overeem suspended 1 year, win over Badahari overturned to a no contest due to a doping violation. Is anybody surprised? Did you guys see Alistair Overeem? Must be the horse meat. If you know, you know. So, yep, that's it for any news, any fight announcements. Not going to lie, wrestling was kind of a snooze fest this past week. So we're going to pass on the Matt Madness Wrestling Minute this week. And let's talk about last week's fights. Bellator was live from the SAP Center in San Jose, California. In the main event, Usman Nurmagomedov defeated Benson Henderson by rear naked choke in the first round. Moving on in the lightweight Grand Prix, as well as retaining his title. Congratulations, Usman. But I don't really want to talk about Usman right now. The big thing is Benson Henderson. Yes, after this fight, Benson Henderson put his gloves in the middle of the octagon and retired. Congratulations to Benson Henderson on an amazing career. He finished off his career 30 wins, 12 losses, with wins over the likes, listen to this. His first official pro fight was in 2006. He went on to fight for WEC in 2009. Some notable names on his list of wins. Sorry, Donald Cerrone twice, Jamie Varner, Jim Miller, Clay Guida, Frankie Edgar twice, Nate Diaz, Gilbert Melendez, Josh Thompson, Jorge Masvidal, Patricio Pitbull. That's wild. Those are just notable names. He has a ton of wins. The only one that he fought that he didn't beat that was also a notable name, Anthony Pettis and Rafael Dos Anjos. So just a murderer's row. Not to mention people like Usman Nurmagomedov that he just lost to, Jason Jackson, Michael Chandler, Brent Primus. Dude, Benson Henderson fought the best. He reigned supreme for a while. He was a killer, really, really fun to watch, always game, and had all the skills, whether it be on the ground, whether it be on the feet, very, very, you know, well-rounded mixed martial artist. So, again, congratulations on a great career. Seems like he's going to focus on his wife's career and cornering her and making her the best that she could be. So, Benson Smooth Henderson. See you later, buddy. Alexander Shabali defeated Tofik Musayev by a TKO in the third round with a kick to the body. He moves on in the Bellator Lightweight Grand Prix. Leighton Vassell defeated Valentin Moldovsky by TKO in the first round. And one of the most brutal things I've ever seen in the octagon, Michael Page defeated Goichi Yamauchi by leg kick TKO in the first round. He gave him a leg kick and his kneecap exploded. We all saw it before our eyes and it looked gruesome, man. Michael Page is a dangerous, lethal man with those feet and he shows it here. Just unbelievable. If you haven't seen the clip, proceed with caution. The only other fighters that we know on this card were Enrique Borzola. He defeated Eric Perez. And let's try to say this name again. Dovletjan Yagshimuradov. He defeated Julius Anglicus by unanimous decision. So that was the Bellator card. Usman continues to crush it. Usman Nurmagomedov and Benson Henderson puts his gloves down. Fun card, fun main event. That's about it. Not card, fun main event. Let's talk about a fun card that was live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the theater at the Virgin Hotel. First off, phenomenal venue. It's been so long since the UFC has been there, and it was just such a intimate atmosphere. And you know, when I say that, I don't mean intimate like the Apex, where it's like real quiet and you know, somber. No, this is intimate, like everybody's so close. It was packed with as many people as they could fit in there, but the crowd was amazing, the atmosphere was amazing. I love it. I hope they do all the rest of the fight nights there, because this was a lot of fun to watch. But not only the crowd was fun, but there was a lot of really good fights here. So let's get right into it. Starting off the night, Carlson Harris defeated Jared Gooden by unanimous decision. Bruno Silva submits Tyson Nam by rear naked choke in the second round. That was a really fun fight leading into the submission. Shout out to Bruno Silva. Ariane Lipski, the Queen of Violence, defeated J.J. Aldrich by unanimous decision. Victor Henry, the veteran, bounced back with a split decision victory over Tony Gravely. Josh Fremd, someone who for some reason I believe in so much, but I did not pick in this fight, spoils the debut of Cedricus Dumas, when he submits him by guillotine choke in the second round, handing him his first loss. Congratulations to Josh Fremd. Davy Grant submits Rafaela Sunsal by inverted triangle choke in the third round, thus ending Rafael Sunsal's career. He retired here at the end. So congratulations to Rafael Sunsal. Let's go over his resume real quick. So lost to Davy Grant. Let's go to the beginning. So he started his professional career in 2004. He joined the WEC. And then he moved over to the UFC. Some of the names on his list: TJ Dillashaw, Pedro Munhoz, Brian Caraway, Uriah Faber. They never fought, but they were booked. Aljo, Marlon Moraes, Rob Font. And these are wins over Rob Font, Marlon Moraes, Aljamain Sterling, Pedro Munhoz, and TJ Dillashaw. Crazy. And then he had a rough go. After the Rob Font fight in 2018, he loses to Marlon Moraes. This was when Marlon Moraes was working his way up before he went on that huge losing streak. Loses to Moraes, loses to Corey Sandhagen, loses to Cody Garbrandt, and then loses to Ricky Simon. He defeats Victor Henry late last year, and then he just lost to Davy Grant. So, you know, none of those were easy fights, but he calls it a quits. Congratulations on a great career. I hope you have a great rest of your professional life. Carl Williams defeated Lucas Bresky by unanimous decision. Victor Petrino defeated Anton Turkagi by unanimous decision. Mario Bautista submits Guido Canetti by rear naked choke in the first round. Jonathan Martinez defeats Sayad Nurmagomedov by unanimous decision. Nikita Krylov submits Ryan Spann in the first round by triangle choke. Did not see that coming at all so quickly. Alexander Volkov TKOs Alexander Romanov in the first round. Again, I did not see that happening so quickly. And in the main event, Mirab Dvalishvili, on my scorecards, 50-44, just complete domination of Peter Yan. Really making a statement in that bantamweight division. And unfortunately, his best friend is the champion and they refuse to fight, which I totally respect. But dude, what Mirab did to Peter Yan was nothing short of amazing. He made it look easy. And I'm really excited to see what Mirab Dvalishvili does next. Do they do him versus the winner of Corey versus Marlon? Or do they do him versus Sugar for the number one contender? I don't know. But whatever it's going to be, I'm watching, man. And it wasn't a boring fight. He was 49 takedown attempts. I was excited this whole fight. I thought the pace was just unbelievable the way these guys work, man. Good on them. Mirab, you're a killer. Peter Yan might need a step back in competition. Honestly, he really might. So that was UFC Fight Night. Let's get to the goods. This weekend, live from the O2 Arena in London, England, UFC 286, the rematch for the UFC Welterweight Championship. In the main event, Leon Rocky Edwards versus the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman. Now, Kamaru Usman, he won the first fight way back, and then he was winning the second fight. He was winning 4.5 rounds of that second fight until he got head kicked. So As hard as it is to really go in there and say, hey, man, I think Leon's got this. You know what I mean? I'm going to say it. I think Leon's got this. You know, having a performance like that and then coming out on top at the end can really give you a really big boost of confidence. And I think he's going into this fight thinking, like, I can do this. And I'm excited to see a confident Leon Edwards in there. But Kamaru Usman, not too long ago, pound for pound, best in the world. The longest, you know, title win streak in a long time, you know. So he's someone that you can never count out. He wasn't chasing greatness. He was great. And then we see this week if he still is great. So I'm excited to see it. It's a killer main event. The atmosphere is going to be phenomenal. And, you know, Leon Edwards has a whole country behind him there in the O2 arena. And, yes, Kamaru Usman says it all the time. They can't fight for you. But, man, when there's, you know, 15, 16,000 people booing you, every time they say your name, that's going to get on your damn nerves. And, you know, when you're annoyed, you're prone to make a mistake. So we will see. I'm excited for it. I'm definitely here for this main event. Leon Rocky Edwards versus Kamaru Usman. In the co-main event, Justin the Highlight Gaethje versus Rafael Fiziev. Really fun fight here. It's tough. It's never a time where you don't say that about a Justin Gaethje fight. So the only difference this time is Fiziev is on the other side, and Fiziev pushes the pace. He's so much fun to watch. He's so skilled. Somebody going down in this fight. I don't know if Fiziev has ever been knocked out, but if this was his first, it's going to be devastating because Justin Gaethje is a freak of nature. I cannot wait for this fight. Justin Gaethje is the highlight for a reason. He's like Rob Van Dam. He's the whole effing show. I could watch Justin Gaethje highlights all day, man. I cannot wait. He seems really motivated. What I respect about Justin Gaethje is that he takes his time in between fights. You know what I mean? Because he knows he's going to war every time, man. I respect that. And it's like an anomaly seeing him fight, you know, whether it be once a year, you know, or once at the beginning of the year, once at the end. You never know. But he's so much freaking fun to watch, and I cannot wait to see him in this co-main event slot at this killer crowd here. Most of them, you know, they're for Fiziev, but Justin Gaethje is the freaking highlight. Gunnar Nelson versus Brian Barberina. Jennifer Maia versus the returning King Casey O'Neill. I can't wait to see that. I love Casey O'Neill. She is back. And this is a huge step up in competition for her, so I'm looking forward to it. And opening the main card, Marvin Vettori versus the surging Roman Dolidze. This is interesting, man, because Marvin Vettori just never goes down. And Roman Dolidze has been on this run recently. I'm excited to see what turns out here. I mean, if it's Marvin, whatever. But, dude, Roman could put something together. This is exciting. Jack Shore moving up to 145 against Makwan Amerikani. Chris Duncan versus Omar Morales. Sam Patterson versus Yanal Ashmov. Jafiel Filo versus Mohamed Mohaev. Lerone Murphy is back. He's taking on Gabriel Santos. Christian Leroy Duncan versus Dusko Todorovic. Jake Hadley versus Malcolm Gordon. Joanne Wood versus Luana Carolina. Jai Herbert versus Ludovic Klein. And opening the main card, the returning Veronica Hardy, formerly Veronica Macedo, versus Juliana Miller. That is UFC 286, and this has been another episode of YBE MMA. I am Josh Prepagina. You can find me on all forms of social media. Elroy Preps in one word. You can find the show on Instagram at YBE MMA Podcast, as well as Teespring, teespring.com/stores/YBE MMA Podcast. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you next week. It's not very many times that I mess up on my outro, so we'll say that again. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Love your mothers. I love your mom. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you next week.